is living now.
All right, today we're going all in, right? Let's jump all in. We're going all in. Let's jump right into this sermon today. We're in the middle of a series all summer long called All In. We're learning to what it means to give full surrender of our life to Jesus and what it means to go all in a relationship with God. Today I want to talk to you about something right into it. Let's talk about all in with change. Turn to your neighbor and say, change. Say, change, change, change. Come on, you can do it. Change. So now we got to change. And, I was thinking about this. We really love change, don't we? How many really love change? Not very many, right? How many guys hate it when your wife moves the furniture on you when you come home from work and it's been done? Yeah. I remember when we first got married, my wife was always moving the furniture and it used to drive me crazy. I'm like, honey, I just learned how to navigate through the house in the dark. And now I trip over things and, I don't like it. So I just got heavier furniture and now she doesn't move it near as much. But we don't adapt well to change. I was thinking about the summer how we were out in Anaheim with our three oldest and we were there at a convention and we went over to Disneyland and visited some other things that we had done. We were actually there about 8 years earlier and we had done the same week of the year, 8 years earlier. We went to Disneyland, we went back to Disneyland this time. And we're there riding the rides, and then we pass by the Kittyland, and my three oldest ones are like, oh, Kittyland, remember Kittyland? And they took off running, and they run over there, and they jump in the teacups, because they're like feeling nostalgic, they're like, I'm going to jump in. Remember we rode these? And they could barely get in them, because they're so big, and they've grown up, and they're, like, instead of spinning around fast, it's like, and they're kind of, And I'm laughing at them, and I took a picture, and I told them I wouldn't show it. So I'm not going to show it because I made a promise. But I didn't promise I wouldn't tell the story. And so I'm telling you the story. And so they're there riding some of the kid rides just for fun and just doing it for a blast. And everybody's looking like, you guys are weird, You guys are way too big to be over here in the kiddie part, go on over. And it was kind of late, so it already had started to, dwindle out. It was kind of the last thing we did at night. And we rode a couple of the kiddie things like we did about 8 years ago. It was really weird, though, because it was like, it was cute 8 years ago, but it had kind of run its course, They were much bigger now. They're growing into big young men, and they were growing into adults, and so now it became kind of weird that they were wanting to ride the kiddie rides, and they were just doing it for a laugh. But I was thinking about this summer how I took our two youngest who went to Schlitterbahn, and we're up there in Kansas City at the big water park there, and, they got the world's tallest roller coaster for a water slide, and you got to wait in line 2 hours to ride it, and so, all that big thing. But they have all these big things, water slides and wade pools, and some of you guys have been there. You know how fun it is. But they also, in the very center, have this, like, little pirate ship with a little bitty kiddie pool. And I was walking by, and I was feeling kind of, remembering and watching those little kids play. And I stopped, and I was just kind of Steve sitting there thinking, I remember my kids loved to play on those things. And I remember they would go to the water parks, and they would play in the little kiddie wade pools, and they squirt the guns at each other, and they play on the pirate ships. And I'm just sitting there looking, thinking and remembering how, I wish my kids were young again. I remember how that used to be. All of a sudden, I see these moms looking at me. And at first, I'm like, well, I have lost a little weight. And so, not just playing. These moms are looking at me like, do you have a kid over here? This is kind of creepy, dude. You need to move on, I'm like, oh, sorry. It's cute when you have small kids. But how many know if as grown adults, we all go play on the pirate ship, we're going to have some problems. Someone's going to call 911. It's kind of creepy because we've outgrown it, And I wonder how many of us, we've outgrown certain things spiritually and we have never waded out to the deeper waters. We've never waded out to the deeper things of God. And I wonder how many times God maybe is looking at us. It's like, that's kind of creepy, dude. Once you move on to some deeper things in me, once you move on, you've been stuck at the same place for 10 years. How about you get off the kiddie faith and step out and stretch your faith into something new? How about you get off this, you know, being spoon-fed and maybe you try some spiritual steak for once in your life? You know, there's things in our life, and it's never going to happen if we don't change. We'll never go all in if something doesn't change in our life. And it's not easy. I'll be the first one to admit it. I don't always like change. I don't deal well with change. How many had kids go back to school this year and they went to a new school building? Anybody went to new? Yeah, several. It's always, you know, that the night before they go back to that new building, isn't it kind of like they're really nervous, right? It's like, I want to go back to my old school. I don't want to go to the new school. And even though they're kind of excited, they're really kind of scared because it's a new building, new teachers, new administration. And you're like, no, you're going, you know, come on. This is what you got to do. And they get there and they're like, oh, I love it. It's the best thing ever. You know, I know when kids transfer from middle school into junior high, then they start changing classrooms and it gets, the day picks up. At first, they're really nervous. Can I get to my classes on time? Am I going to follow my schedule? Am I going to get to my locker and get my books and get there? And they're really, really nervous. But then they always get there. I'm like, God, this is great, man. Every hour, we're changing, getting to walk around. Freedom. We're growing up. We're getting responsible. Change is good. If your kid comes and says, no, I want to go back to my old school, Dad. I just don't like my new school. I know I'm supposed to be in seventh grade, but I want to go back to sixth grade. Would you let your kids go back after 2 weeks of school and say, go back to sixth grade? No, why? Because we know the importance of them moving forward, right? We know that life is about facing your challenges head on. It's about taking that next step in the growth. And it may not be easy, but it's necessary. Spiritually, it's the same way today. Sometimes we need spiritual pastors and coaches and leaders to come along beside and say, hey, all right, it's time for change. It's time for you to grow up a little more and take some different responsibility and to move on to some deeper things in God. You've been stuck at the same level for a long time. So we've got to embrace change, not fear it. Change is a good thing, even though we don't always like it. Let's admit this today. Can we all say it together? Let's admit this one thing today. Let's all admit, I need to change. Let's say it again. I need to change. One more time. I need to change. Now, some of you are thinking, Pastor, my spouse is the one that really needs to change. If my kids would change, it'd make it a lot easier on me. And that's the way it is. It's always easier to point at somebody else about changing. And it's always the most difficult to look in the mirror and say, I need to own my change. And I need to change myself. I have people who come to me and want me to counsel them, and I can tell you in one session whether or not this is going to be successful or not. If I meet with you one time and you can't admit that you need to change and have things you need to work on, and it's about everybody else, I won't meet with you again because I am not going to waste my time. Because unless you're willing to say, even though maybe that person maybe did some things against you and maybe it's something happened, I know it's not always your fault, but still, everybody has something that they need to own and say, I need to change and work on some things in my life as well. It's not always about the other person. And to get to this place, we got to admit, I need to change. And we also, as a Christian, we must admit this, I can't change on my own. We can change a lot of things on our own, but one thing we can't change is spiritually, we can't change on our own. We need God to change us. Only certain things God can change in us. No matter how hard we try, only God can transform us on certain things. I remember when my kids were small, and we would go to like places like Chuck E. Cheese or Incredible Pizza. Any of you dads like those places? Yeah. Isn't it crazy? We take them there to buy that cardboard pizza. But it's not about that. Let's be real, Dad. It's about the games, right? And every dad is a kid at heart and loves playing the games. Honey, I'm putting all this money on the card for the kids, and then you, like, you know, spend at least half of it on you. I never did that, but I heard fathers who've done that. And, you know, I get up there, and I love ruling, you know, the basketball. I'm like, those tickets are like, ching, 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 ching. My kids love collecting those tickets. I mean, they get it. It's like, this is like gold to them, you know, like, I want more tickets. You know, they're like, something comes over them in those places and they want all the tickets they can get, and they play the games that kick out the most tickets. And I would play, they were like, Dad, play this game, dude, get the high score. And I'm like, sure, get over, kids, you know. It's like for ages, you know, 1 and 2. All right, anyway, so you just reach over and put the ball into the hole. But we got a lot of tickets. And we collect all these tickets. I remember one time my kids were like, they go get tickets. They take my tickets. They take your tickets if you wouldn't watch it. I take anybody's tickets they could get. I remember one time my son come along. He's like, Dad, look at all these tickets I got. I'm like, where did you get these tickets at? He's like, I got them out of the trash. Someone threw them away. I'm like, wow, that's awesome. We're high-fiving. He's like, tons of tickets. I'm like, as many as they can hold. And then I later on saw them emptying out the machines, the ticket machines. And they were putting them in this certain bag and barrel. And it wasn't a trash can. That's where they collected. I'm like, well, hallelujah. God bless my son that day anyway. And so we've been collecting tickets. All this money, you know, you spend, you do the math of five kids and a dad who's a bigger kid, then we spent a lot of dough that day playing for a couple hours and having a great time blast. It was an investment. But we get to finally, we go up there, we take all our tickets. We're like, come on, let's get them. You know, we're picking them up, putting them up there, and it takes them 2 hours to count them all, you know, because there's so many tickets. And then we're like, yeah, we're going to get a new PlayStation right there. That's what's going to happen. Or we're going to get this cool DJ system, portable, you know, whatever it is. And they're like, all right, here's your tickets. Now you can pick anything out of this bottom row you want right here. Seriously, you know, you're like, all right, here's a bottle of bubbles in the Tootsie Roll. Thanks for coming. I'm like, I invested all that money and time, and all I got was a bottle of bubbles and a sticker and a Tootsie Roll. I could have went to the dollar store and spent $3 and saved myself. You know, it's frustrating because you think, man, all this time, all these tickets, and we're going to cash in. I think some of us do this in church a lot of times. We come in, I'm investing my life. It's a struggle to get here, to get the kids ready, to close iron and be here, to give my life and give my offerings. And I'm trying to do the what's right, Pastor, but sometimes I feel like spiritually I'm only getting back a token gift. I've only got this little spiritual, little bitty thing here to show for it. And I feel like I'm investing so much and I'm not getting what I need back in return. I understand that you feel that way. But let me tell you this. God does not want you to invest your lives. Let me say this. God does not want you to invest your lives into the kingdom of God just to get back a small toy return. No, he wants you to invest your life so that you can come back and be radically changed for him. He wants to do something dramatic in your life. He wants to do something radical in your life when it comes to changing us. He wants to do something. We see it in Scripture. It says it very clear, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if we're in Christ, he is what? New creation. This isn't, hey, if you're in Christ, you're going to get a little spiritual cross to put on your sticker, on your chest. No, he becomes a new creation. The old things, they're gone, man. They're passed away. Behold, all things have now become new. I mean, this is the transformation he's wanting to do in our lives through the power of his grace. He wants his grace to shake you. He wants his grace to set you free. He wants his grace to transform you. He wants his grace to flood your mind, flood your heart, so that you can make changes in your life and become the person you never thought you could be. He wants to use you as people who make a difference in the kingdom of God. Not just have some spiritual token. Oh, I'm a Christian. I got a t-shirt. You know, it's more than that. He's got something great he wants to do. I love this story in Genesis chapter 32. We're going to focus now. I want to pull out some points of this story. In Genesis 32, the story of Jacob. Anybody ever heard the story of Jacob? Many of you have. Some of you haven't. Maybe we see the story of Jacob. Jacob, we find in the book of Genesis, he had a twin brother named Esau. And their father was Isaac, and he's getting old in his old age, and he's getting blind. And so Jacob goes and tricks his dad as his dad's getting close to his deathbed, and he can't really see well. So he tricks his dad into making him thinking he's the older brother when really he's the younger brother. And his dad blesses him, gives him the inheritance, the birthright. And then his brother comes back, finds out, and chases after him, and he flees for his life. He leaves his home and goes, and he has to go move to a foreign land. Of course, he's there working. He finds a bride that he likes, and he has to work all those years for his bride, only on the wedding day to find out that He'd been tricked. He didn't get the sister he thought he was getting. Remember this, the Rachel and Leah story? And then he has to work another 7 years to get the other bride that he really wanted. So now he's been tricked. He's been deceived, and he's been doing this to everybody else. And now he's doing the same thing that happened to him, and he's repeating this. He pretends these are not his wives. And it's this whole pattern of deceit and dishonesty follows him. Now his wives are fighting because one can have children, one can't. And there's all this drama. They got all this baby mama drama in their house. I mean, it's a mess. I'm telling you, more you would love these people. Their home is a wreck, and his life's a wreck. And it's like, you know, this could be such a good story. Dramatically, it's a lot of things happening. But we see this happen where finally something changes in Jacob's life. In one night, something changes. We see something happening here. And let's pick this story up, because Jacob's name means, in Scripture, it means deceiver, liar, manipulator. And that's what he was. That was his character. People knew him as a liar, deceiver. But God says in one night, God changes his name to Israel, which means Prince of God. I mean, you talk about dramatic change. To go one day you're being called deceiver, liar, manipulator, and the next day you're being called Prince of God. Something had to happen there. God had to do something great in his life, in his heart, and we see a pattern here. I want to pull a couple of principles out of the scripture, the story, to share with you when it comes to the phases we go through that God uses to change us. Four phases that God uses to change us here. The first phase is the crisis phase. The crisis. Everybody hates crisis. None of us like crisis. But when you're going through a crisis, let me say this. Ask the time to step back and say, God, I'm going through a crisis. You must be preparing me for something different. You must be preparing my life for something. A change is getting ready to happen. A shakeup's getting ready to happen in my life. You're preparing me for something different. He allows us to go through crisis so he can get us ready to receive the change he's wanting to bring our way. So Jacob steals his brother's inheritance. He flees the land. He goes all this drama with his wives, all those years working for them. Now they're fighting. He's like, listen, it's time for me to go back home. Let's go back home. I got to see my family. And he takes them on a trip back home. And before they get there, we see this happening now that they're there. It's time for him to go and face his brother for the first time after running for his life. Look what it says in chapter 22, verse 32. Of Genesis. And he arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of the Jabbok. And he took them, sent them over the brook, and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of dawn. And we know this man to be, many people think it was an angel of the Lord, which it says here. Some people even think maybe it was Jesus himself. Theologians have debated that, but we know for sure it was at least an angel sent from the Lord to wrestle with him. But we see here in his nature, in his crisis, that first of all, we see his nature. I mean, what kind of man who runs for his life from his brother and then goes back to face his brother? He's like, all right, honey, you guys take the children and go on over. I'll be there tomorrow. If he doesn't kill you, I'll join you. If he kills you, I'm sorry. It was nice knowing you. I mean, what kind of man, what kind of coward sends over his kids and his wife to face his own problems and struggles, right? Don't have a lot of respect for a man who would do that, who would not face his own battle, but he sends over his family. Well, maybe he's thinking, he sees my kids, maybe he'll take it easy on me. But whatever the case, he's sending over his family to handle his problems. It tells you the character of this man. And we see this happening here, that many people, they feel that their crisis is their problem. Many people feel the crisis is the problem, and really, your crisis is not your problem. The problem is between you and God, between me and God, between you and God. The crisis is not our problem. The real problem is what's going on between you and God and me and God. That's the real problem. But it's easy to put all our attention on the crisis and say, you know, this crisis is causing me all this problem. No, there's something else going on deep inside many times that we need to face and deal with that God's wanting us to get ready for. It's important that we face those crises and say it's not always the reason is not the crisis. You want the reason why the crisis is this? The real problem is this, is that we like to be in control. This is the real problem. All of our problems spiritually, I believe one of the biggest struggles we have is that we simply like to be in control. We struggle with giving control of the Holy Spirit in our life. We struggle with yielding and giving complete control. So it's easier for us to be a control freak and hang on to things and say, I've got this. No, you don't. And if God has to, he'll cause you to walk through a crisis that lets you realize you don't got this. He's got this. And he's taking you through a crisis so he can position you to bless you later. He's trying to set you up for blessing. He's trying to set you up for change. But when you always look at the crisis as the problem, you'll never see what God's really wanting to do is prepare you for the blessing and change. It wants to happen. Well, I don't know why I'm having all these financial problems in my life. If I could just get a job, that would fix my problem. If I get a better job, I get a raise. If I could get some money mailed to me, all this would solve my problem. No, your real problem is God wants you to learn how to be a better manager of what he's given you. And if you don't face the crisis, we never admit that, you know what? I've got a problem managing my money. I got a problem being a good steward. Oh, I'm talking where we all live today, so don't look at me like, oh, man, he's preaching to me. I'm preaching to all of us here, realizing that God causes us to walk through the hard times. If he can position us to become better stewards, then he can trust us to bless us with what he's wanting to do. Why would he bless me if I'm not going to manage what he wants to bring my way? Why would he bring a blessing to my life that I'm not equipped to manage? See, so he allows me to go through crisis so I change control of my life and say, God, I don't got this. You need to be in control of my life. I'm giving you up. I've been holding on to this area. I've been holding on to this problem. And I realize I can't do it, God. I just need you to be in control. And he's like, I knew that. But finally, I've had to get your attention. And the quicker we learn to give up control, I think the less crisis we'll have to walk through in our life. But God will use the crisis to prepare us. Don't fear the crisis. When you go through a crisis, realize this. There's two things that need to happen in a crisis. We have to ask ourselves these questions. Will this happen? Will I obey God? And will I trust him? Every crisis I go through, will I still obey God? And will I trust him? When I go through crisis, it's easy to say, ah, forget it, man. I'm doing my own thing. Or will I stick true to what he's asked me to do? Will I trust him, or will I have trust issues, like we talked about last week, and do my own thing? No, God wants you to walk through the crisis, hanging on, staying true. You know, it's the night before the crisis that he begins to have this struggle. And I think for us, for many times, it's that night before we got to face the real issues that really we struggle with. If I know something's coming up the next day that I need to deal with, maybe it's a financial issue or something going on that I need to confront, I can have a sleepless night, can't you? And I'll finally get to sleep, and about 3 o'clock in the morning, I'll hear my wife, ha, 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 ha. She goes, are you awake? I'm like, no, but I am now. How can you sleep on a night like this? When we got this going on tomorrow, and I'm like, honey, you know, it'll be there tomorrow, but right now I'm trying to sleep. The night before, we have a hard time. And I remember when I was a kid that, you know, maybe you go to school and you go out the first recess, and maybe something happened on recess or some bully confronted you and you stood up. And he's like, all right, 3 o'clock. You and I, we're going to have a fight at 3 o'clock after school. And the rest of the day, you're like, you're doing push-ups, pray, you're drinking your milk, you're getting with the bigger, come on, man, you're my best friend ever, you know. And it's like anxiety comes because, you know, at 3 o'clock, you got to face this kid out of the parking lot. And I think for some of us here, it's kind of that way. We get anxiety when it's time to really admit and really face the real issues in our life. We have anxiety. Sometimes it's easier just to deal with it right away. Why do we wait? You know, I'm like, you know, if you're going to fight me, let's fight right now. Let's go right now. I'm not going to wait till 3 o'clock. I'm not building up anxiety. At least do it here where the teachers can come and break it up and save my life. I ain't no dummy. We ain't going to drive down the block. No, we're going to do right here at the school. I'm real tough right here, but all right. Anyway, no, we need to jump in right away. The second part of the phase, the second phase, we see the crisis phase and we see the commitment phase. His commitment. We see in verse 26 that Jacob says, the man said, let me go for it is daybreak. And Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. I won't let you go unless you bless me. Too many people quit when things get tough. Too many people quit when crisis come. Too many people quit when things begin to happen. You've got to be committed to change. You've got to be committed. God, change me. Do what you need to do in my life, whatever that is, however painful it may be, whatever it is I need to confront. God, I'm ready for you to change me. I need change in my life because I can't do it on my own. And neither can you. We can't do it on our own. We need God to change us. And we got to be committed, though. Too many people give up every time something gets hard. Well, I thought I was going to get, you know, this great PlayStation, and all I got was a spiritual token right here, sticker. And we give up. And God's like, no, man, I got so much more for you. You're just not ready for it yet. So I got to develop you. I've got to change you, prepare you for where I'm taking you. I'm transforming you into my image, not just through the righteousness of God, but he also has a place he's wanting us to walk in today that he wants us to walk, a new creation, transformed by his grace. And when you understand that grace has set you free, that my past is no longer there, man, he wants to transform you to live your life free, to live your life not only guilt-free, but live your life on purpose, with the purpose of advancing the kingdom of God. And we get to be committed. You can't give up every time something comes your way. You know, last week I brought up Landon and Hayden, two brothers, and one's a lot bigger than the other brother. And I know just like your kids, my kids like to tantalize each other. And, you know, if Landon really wanted to, he could take Hayden and he could just crush the kid, you know? He's so much bigger than him. He could just crush the kid. He can crush me now. So more or less he can crush his little brother. But he gets to tantalize at him, and Landon will wrap up Hayden and he'll hold him down, you know? And if he wanted to, he could just snap his bones if he really wanted to. But he just holds him down, and he's laughing. And he's like, all right, who's your daddy? Who's stronger? Who's stronger? You know, he won't get up unless you admit it. And he says, laugh. I don't know where he learned that from. I would have never done that to him. But, you know, he just likes pushing his brother to see if his brother will respond. And like he likes to aggravate him just enough where his brother finally is like, fat enough. And he comes out swinging and he starts laughing. And he grabs him, puts him in a bear hug and holds him down, you know. And he's like, he just laughs that this little kid is not afraid to come out swinging against how big he is, you know. And it cracks him up and he does it. He just tests and agitates and tests his little brother to see whether or not he'll fight back. And I think it's kind of cool because I see this where it says the angel of the Lord touched his hip. Jacob's hip, and broke his hip. You know, if God really wanted to, he would have done a lot more than break his hip. He could just, bam, and he'd turn into a pillar of salt. You know what I'm talking about? So the fact that he just broke his hip, he was just toying with Jacob. He's like, Jacob, let's see how much fight you got in you. I'm ready to call out the fight in you, Jacob. I'm ready to see, are you ready to fight? Will you give up, cry like a little baby? Run like you have the rest of your life from everything? How bad do you want it? And it says that he touched him. Touched his hip, broke it. And then he gets on. He says, I am not going to give up. I'm not going to go until you bless me. I'm not going to give up until you bless me. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit. Too many people give up. They quit, which is the third part, the confession. He confesses in verse 27. He says, what's your name? Does God know his name? Does the angel know his name? Yes. He's not like, oh, I forgot your name. Can you remind me? No. There was something he was trying to do. He was trying to get Jacob to admit who he really was. I know who you are, but you tell me who you really are. I'm Jacob, which means I'm a liar. I'm a deceiver. I'm a manipulator. He makes him confess. He makes him confess. See, part of the transformation is simply to confess, this is who I used to be. This is who I was, and this is the things I'm struggling with. God, I am struggling with giving up control. God, I'm a control freak. God, I'm bitterness. God, I'm anger issues. God, I'm depression. God, I've got these things. Who are we really? You know, if you have to make 10 excuses of why you don't change, you'll never change. If you have to make 10 excuses of why you don't change, you'll never change. We've got to admit and say, I've got to take ownership. Now, I know that sometimes growing up, we're not, everybody's on the same level playing field. Some people had some really big challenges, some really big hurdles to get over. But at some point in our adult life, we got to step up and say, I am where I'm at today because I've chosen to stay here and be here. I've got to take ownership and say, you know what? This is who I am. I got to quit blaming everybody else. It's everybody else's fault why I'm this way. It's everybody else's fault why I act this way. It's everybody else's fault why I'm not a good dad. My dad wasn't a good dad, so I don't know how to be a good dad. At some point, you got to own and say, no, I'm a bad dad because I choose to be a bad dad. I can choose to change. Well, I don't know how to love. My mom never loved me, so I don't know how to love. No, you're choosing. Listen to me, lady. You're choosing to be that way because you want to be that way. It's at some point, we've got to say, I'm ready to say, God, this is who I am. This is what I need to change, and I've got to give it up to you. I got to confess it. I got to confess it. God, this is who I am. He made him confess who you are. I mean, anyone who would lie to their blind daddy, anyone who would steal from their brother, anyone who would send over his wife and children to face his enemies, this man needs to have some issues. He needs to admit, you know what? I messed up. I'm a messed up person. I need help. I'm Jacob. That's who I am. Today, what if I had name tags when you walked in the door and asked you to fill your name out and put it on here and wear it in? But instead of putting your birth given name, what if I asked you to put on there who you really are? I wonder how many of us would be honest and say, you know what? I'm a deceiver. I've got anger issues. I let lust control my life. I have fear of commitment. I have trust issues. I let depression rule my life. I've got bitterness. I let addiction. I mean, we could fill out all these different things and really wear them. I wonder how many of us, well, we have a hard time with that, wouldn't we, today? But at some point, we just got to come in and say, God, this is who I am. Because you know why? His grace is wanting to transform you. His grace has come to forgive us of all that junk so that you and I can be transformed into his image. And we can be set free. We can become a new creation. And I realize this, that we've got to be transformed, which takes us to the last part, is the conversion. His conversion. Let's pick it up in verse 28. Then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob. Can you imagine that? Hey, you confessed it. Now listen, this is what I say to you. You're no longer Jacob, deceiver, liar, but now your name is Israel, Prince of God. So you're telling me all I had to do was confess, God, I'm a liar. God, this is who I am. And he says, yeah. And by the way, I've given you a new name, Prince of God. And to you today, all you got to do is say, God, this is who I am. And God says, yeah, but I see you differently. You're Prince of God. You're princes and princesses of God, children of God. Know who you are. You used to be that, but no longer. I don't care what's happened in your family. I don't care how big your mistake is. God says, I want to call out the greatness in you. I see you. And he did it all through Scripture. We see him doing it with Jacob. We see him do it with Peter. Peter, hey, no, your name's not Peter. You're a rock, man. I'm going to build my church. Paul, no, you're not Saul. You're going to become Paul now. You're converted, man. I've got a new identity. I'm ready to give you. And he's ready to give you and I a new identity that we can walk in this new boldness. We can walk in this new creation he's called us to be. But it comes when we say, God, I've got to change. I've got to change. I admit who I am. I need to change. Then what happened? He says, please tell me your name. He asked God. He replied, why do you ask my name? And then he blessed him there. So Jacob called that place Peniel and saying, it is because I saw God face to face. Finally, finally. How many times has God tried to show up in Jacob's life? But finally, he goes like, hey, I recognize you. God, I acknowledge that today you're here with me. Wow. He goes, yeah, my life was spared. So the sun rose above him. I don't care how dark your night may be, how bigger your struggle may be, God causes the sun to rise again in your life. Just don't give up. God, this is me. This is my struggle. Let him transform you. He gives you a new name. He shows up face to face. Sun rises again. And he passed that place. He was limping because of his hip. I love this new identity. He gives him three things. He gives him a new identity. He says, man, your name's going to be called Israel. That's just one of the most powerful stories of Scripture, that Jacob's given the name Israel. You know, I believe today, this is why we preach about grace so much here, because I want you to see the grace God has for your life, because I believe to get you to change and to get anybody to change, we just got to get people to see how much God loves them and what God has called them to be and who God has created them to be and what his grace transforms us to be. I don't get up here and say, you need to change this. You need to change that. You need to stop doing this. Here's a list of 10 sins you need to stop doing. No, you're not going to change because I list the top 10 sins to change this week. But if I can let you get a glimpse of how God sees you, God doesn't see you as liar, deceit. He sees you as a prince of God. And he calls out of the dark places of your life and calls something new out of you. And he says, you may thought you was this, but I've got a new plan. I've made you a new creation. My grace is covering you. And the more I understand it, the more it compels me to say, yeah, yes, God, I'm ready to go all in. I'm ready to change whatever you want to change in my life. I'm ready to say, God, yeah, I got some control issues. Help me to give them up. He recognized God for the first time, face to face. And then he leaves that place with a limp. That's important. Because you realize that all of his life, Jacob had been running. Musicians are coming this morning. All of his life, Jacob had ran from his problems, ran from his battles, running, running, running. And finally, God touches him, changes him, and puts him in a place where he can't run no more. He's got a limp. Yeah, I'm new. I'm Prince of God. I'm moving forward. But I got a reminder, you know what? I got to stop running. God has touched me. God has changed me. God sees me and called me out. Sometimes crisis leaves some battle scars, so it's okay. That's God reminding us of where he's brought us from and the change he's wanting to do in our life. It's okay. Don't fear the crisis. I'm ready to change. I'm ready to say, God, I'm ready to go all in. I don't want to be the one who's stopping. But I'm ready to say, God, whatever you want to do, I'm ready. I'm going to ask you just to bow your heads for a minute. As you bow your heads and nobody's looking but me, I want to ask you this question, which could be the most important question you've ever been asked in your life. It's the question right now. Say, Pastor, I've never accepted the work of the cross in my life. as you talk about Jesus dying on the cross and forgiving me my sins. Today, I need to confess him as Lord of my life. I've never done that. And today, I want to accept him. I want to accept what Jesus did on the cross for me. We won't do anything to embarrass you. Nobody's looking but me. But can today, if you say, I'm ready to accept Jesus, can you just raise your hands? That's me. Thank you. Anybody else today? Thank you. Anybody else want to join these people today who are raising their hands? That's me. I'm ready to accept Jesus. If you haven't raised it, raise it right now. That's me. I'm ready to accept Jesus. Thank you, guys. I want you to say this prayer with me out loud. As Christians, we're going to say it with you to help you along. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I confess I am a sinner. And I accept your work of grace on the cross. I accept the grace of my life. I confess you as Lord of my life. I surrender all of my life to you. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. From this day forward, I will live my life for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. You prayed that prayer for the first time. Say, just welcome to the family, God. Give him a hand. Yeah. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, we invite you to stop by the very back as you leave today and receive a free Bible from us. Inside that, it's got some next steps, the things we need to do next along this new journey. Stop by the Welcome Center. It'll be glad to give you one. It's our free token. We'd love to have you part of Destiny Church. You need to be plugged into a home church somewhere. If you don't have one, make sure you come back and get plugged in. How many today, I'm not going to ask you to bow your head. Tell me, just be honest and say, Pastor, as you're speaking today, I realize I need to change. I still got some issues in my life I need to change. Yeah. Hey, thanks for being honest. That's how we get there. First step. Hey, yes, I got some things, some control issues in my life. I'm ready to change. I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet this morning. As we close with this song, it simply says, when your love, it knows no end. I want you to be overwhelmed with the grace of God in your life today, saying, God, I'm thankful that your love. God, I want to learn what it means to surrender my life to you. I want you to be telling them as you're worshiping today, God, I surrender everything to you, giving up control.
Held my hands in mercy. And I will run and not grow weary. And I will rise in God my strength. My heart will trust, for all my hope is Christ alone. Now my soul sees your love and knows no end. Your love and knows no end. Your love and knows no
change. What you're trying to do in us. God, we can embrace the noise.
can't change alone. And that we need you to change us. Father, I thank you today for your word which brings life to us. I pray for that person who's going through crisis and challenges in their life. May today encourage them, God, knowing that you're doing something great, preparing them for new seasons in their life. And God, come to you, Lord, we give you praise. And we say together, amen. See you today. Thank you so much for being with us. Turn your neighbor and give a big high five and say, man, I'm glad you were here today. God bless you.